remember where you were and what was going on in your life 10 years ago this weekend? Chances are probably not when I ask you that quick and that randomly. But if I would take some time to mention some things, I'm sure each of us would begin to remember maybe where we were and what was going on 10 years ago, perhaps even this weekend. Well, speaking on behalf of those of us that have been part of the church here at Porterfield for a long, long time, I remember it was 10 years ago, this very weekend, that we held our first worship service in the place where you are sitting. It was a service of celebration and dedication. And as you can see from the smile on my face, I am still so grateful for what God has done and God continues to do and what he's going to continue to do for the future. And so the message that I'm bringing to you today is one that I hope will help for those of you that have been with us on this journey for 10 years or more. You're going to see that God is faithful and that God's word is true. And I pray this will be an encouragement to you. And if you're here this morning and you're newer to the Church of Porterfield, maybe you're going through a really difficult time, I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you, because God is faithful and he definitely offers, if we will turn to him, to take the bad things in our life and to turn it into something wonderful and beautiful. Isaiah prophesied about a time for the nation of Israel where God would end their time of sorrow and replace it with a time of joy. And it's recorded in Isaiah chapter 61, where Isaiah proclaims that God would give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, Isaiah lived at a time around 700 BC. So you may be thinking, what in the world could he have to say that was written so long ago that would be relevant for us today? And I'm just here to tell you the answer to that question is the problems of life. Because customs and cultures and technology absolutely will change from generation to generation, but the deepest longing of our soul and the greatest need for humanity does not change. Anyone who has lived any length of time at all knows that along with the pleasures of life, there absolutely comes times of deep disappointment, pain, and suffering, and sorrow. And it's in those dark times that we need to be reminded that God has not forgotten us. And that's what the prophet Isaiah is speaking here to the nation of Israel. But my prayer is you will see that these words were not only for the nation of Israel, but to anyone who's going through a difficult time, if they will trust and turn to the Lord. Notice there's three negative word pictures that are used here. We need to feel the weight of the difficulty that people go through and we go through in life. Those three negative word pictures are ashes, mourning, and despair, a spirit of heaviness. And these three mental images all relate to each other. Now, I've got a picture on the screen. Some of you are like, what is that? I can't even tell what that is. But actually, that picture on the screen was this facility, a couple of portions of this facility, both in the upstairs part of the facility on the first level and the basement level of this facility after the fire. It's not a pretty sight. It's ugly, it's burnt, it's literally ashes. It was totally unuseful. And so this is a picture of what we can go through in our life when we've experienced perhaps a devastating illness, or a death of a loved one, or the termination of a job, or whatever it may be. The thing that we were used to enjoying suddenly has been taken away. When we think about ashes, especially in the Bible, they are symbolic of destruction and loss and grief. Anything that has been burned to ashes has basically been reduced pretty much down to its lowest condition. And in the Jewish culture, ashes were used as a sign of deep remorse. So a person or a family that had endured a significant loss in their life of some kind, they would take a handful of ashes and literally they would just pour it or sprinkle it over the top of their head. And it was a sign to other people that something was extremely wrong in their life. Others, when they were going through a time of mourning, they would take some of the ashes, of course, that had been cooled down from a fire. They would wet their fingers. They would mash their fingers in those ashes, and then they would smear the ashes on their head to leave a mark on their forehead. And they went about, and again, this was a way of communicating. It was a mark that people would know without them having to say a word, I'm going through a really difficult time right now. It was their way of communicating, saying, please consider what I'm going through right now before you approach me. And so it was also a sign of respect. When others would see people with ashes on their head or ashes on their forehead, they didn't say, what are those weirdos up to? Or are those people looking for pity? They literally would feel an empathy for those people because they too had experienced times of sorrow in their life. So when they saw other people with ashes on their head or on their forehead, they would know, we need to be kind to this person right now. They're going through a really difficult time. Now, I'm not going to, maybe this sounds weird, but don't you kind of wish that we had a custom like that today again? I mean, aren't there too many times when we go to work or we come to church and we put a smile on our face and we dress up and we try to look nice on the outside and inside, we are just really hurting. And yet we put on a front and nobody knows, and because we don't want to talk about it, we come to the very place where we should get not just sympathy, but empathy and support and prayers and encouragement, the very place where we should come and get that, and we come and we smile at each other and we put on our little show and we go back to our homes and we're hurting. And healing doesn't happen and we wonder why there's no power in the church or in our gatherings today. And I understand that it's difficult when you're going through a tough time, you don't want to be a downer, you don't want to bring the people around you down, but my point is there is a value in acknowledging your sorrow and then also letting others know that you're going through a difficult time. Again, not just to get sympathy, but so that people might understand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe I should, but I won't. But how many of you here this morning are going through a very difficult time? You've had a tough week or you've had a tough year so far, and it was basically maybe all you could do to just get here this morning. Well, I believe God has a word for you, and not only for you, but for those of us maybe who are going through an okay time right now, because trials of life will continue. It's just part of life. But it's during those times where we experience a loss or suffering or disappointment that we begin then to experience a spirit of heaviness, is actually how one of the translations words it in Isaiah there. In other translations, it's despair. But I kind of relate more to a spirit of heaviness. When I've gone through times of concern and worry in my life, I just kind of walk around, and don't you just feel like you got a weight on you? And you try to bear up under it, and you try to press on, but man, it just feels like you're being weighed down. Well, that again is this negative word picture that Isaiah and God was using through Isaiah to help people to think about this, and God wants us to understand that He understands when we go through those times. So again, have you ever felt that way at some point in your life? I know I have on many different occasions. As I mentioned, maybe it's parents, maybe it's a problem or a concern with your kids, no matter what age they are. I'll call them kids. They're always going to be your kids, your children. Children, maybe it's a problem with your parents, something that they're going through. Maybe it's a marital problem, just seems to be no resolution. Or maybe it's a problem with your business or your work. Or if you're in school, maybe it's a problem with a teacher or a class, or maybe just overall school experience and grades. For others, maybe it's a prolonged illness. But the point is, we all go through those times where we experience sorrow and a spirit of heaviness. Well, 12 years ago, this church body went through, not only individually whatever we were going through, but collectively as a body of believers, we went through a time of mourning and a time of loss. And we experienced a spirit of heaviness as a church family. The place where we had gathered for so many years and generations was suddenly gone. Just nothing but ashes and smoke and devastation. The place where some people had accepted Christ, or their children had heard the word of God taught and accepted Christ, was now burned, and ashes were all that was left. The place where people were married or their kids were married was burned. Actually, my wife and I were married in that facility that was burned years ago. So many memories can be attached to a building, but here's the thing, church. The building is not the church. You and I, the people, are the church. It's what God has always taught. Sometimes we get too attached to things rather than attached to the one who is the giver of all things. And so when we go through times of mourning and suffering and loss, we need to keep in mind, whether it's losing material possessions or temporary things, we need to hold on to the one who is the giver of all things and the creator of all things. And he is holding on to us. The thing that we need to remember is that in the midst of your problems, God still has a plan for your life. And to me, that's what this Sunday is about today. We didn't make a big to-do about a 10-year anniversary. We could have promoted this weeks ago, months ago. And it's not that it isn't important. It is. Sometimes I think we don't spend enough time celebrating victories. But this morning, this message is to celebrate the victory that God has given us in the life of the church to this point here at Porterfield. But I'm also here to proclaim he is not finished with us yet. There is much more that he wants us to do in the next decade, in the next 10 years. And that's why you see the development of this property next to us. God has brought us this far because he has the rest of the journey that he wants to take us on. So in this passage, that Isaiah mentioned three negative word pictures that really gives us a sense of loss and devastation. But now notice that he also mentions in this passage three positive words and word pictures that talk about the plans of God. He mentions, go ahead and put that slide up. He mentions a crown of beauty. He mentions, instead of those ashes on your head, you're going to be having a crown of beauty placed. You're going to get an oil of joy, which represents restoration, put upon you, and a garment of praise. That spirit of heaviness, God says, I want to remove that from you, and I want to wrap around you a garment of praise for my glory. Because my plans for you are beyond this suffering and this difficulty that you are going through right now. And I believe this is what God is speaking to those of you here right now that are going through a difficult time. God is saying, if you will trust me, if you will turn to me, I will give you beauty for your ashes. I'll exchange the sorrow that you're going through for an oil of refreshing and joy. And I will give you praise once again. This picture that he is using, literally, when he says, I'll give you oil of joy, it, in the culture of that day, remember, they lived in a very arid region, desert-like region, and so oil was used a lot on their skin to refresh their skin. Now, today, you know, we've got all kinds of manufacturing and creams for men and women that we put on our skin to try to keep us moisturized and all of that stuff. Well, back in their culture, they used oil a lot, olive oil, various kinds of oil to refresh their skin. So this is a picture of refreshing. And God says, I see you in your sorrow and your loss, but my plans for you are greater than your problems. And if you will trust me, I'm going to bring you to a point in time when I'm going to take my oil of my Holy Spirit, and I want to wash off those ashes of sorrow from your forehead. And I want to cleanse your hair and your head with my oil, the oil of refreshing and my Holy Spirit. I want to cleanse those ashes away, and I want to make you feel restored and new and refreshed again. And beyond that, I want to then wrap around you, instead of those dark, ratty, torn garments that you have now that you're wearing in your sorrow, I want to take those off of you, and I want to wrap around you a garment of my righteousness. Through my son Christ, I want to wrap around you a garment that's beautiful and colorful and stylish, and it will be for my praise. Well, just in case you're thinking, well, Mark, that all sounds nice, but God was making that promise there in Isaiah to the nation of Israel, so it really doesn't apply to me today, I would say, oh no, wait a minute, you're wrong. Well, how can I know that you're wrong if you're thinking that? Because if you read the scriptures and we see what Jesus said, you're going to know that this promise is not just for the nation of Israel, but for anyone who is willing to exchange the ashes and their garment of sorrow and heaviness for a spirit of praise in Christ. Isaiah proclaimed in that passage in Isaiah 61, prior to that, he says, this promise is not only just for the nation of Israel, but it's for anyone outside of Israel who will turn to the Lord. Isaiah 49:6 says this, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, talking about this Messiah who would come, which ultimately we know is Jesus of Nazareth. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation of the earth. There it is. God's promise to the nation of Israel through Messiah was not only for Israel, but for anyone who would come to him. Now maybe you're saying, Mark, you still haven't convinced me yet. All right, well, let's go back to this passage, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, the very passage that I quoted at the beginning of this message, where God spoke through Isaiah and said, I'm going to give you a replacement for your ashes and your mourning and your heaviness. I'm going to give you refreshing joy and a garment of praise. So I'm going to pick it up just a couple of verses before that verse in Isaiah 61. And here it is, in Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What's that got to do with Jesus? Fast forward now to the New Testament times. Jesus has been born into the world as prophesied. Miracles happened at his birth. And then later, as he began his public ministry, miracles were beginning to happen. Jesus comes into one of the temples, and they want him to speak because they see that he has the power of God upon him. And so they look at him, even though he's not an official rabbi like they see as rabbis, they respected him and they wanted him to speak. And so this is what's recorded in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 actually through 21. I've got just a little bit of that. So this is talking about Jesus. In Luke chapter 4 verse 16 it says this. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That's really important. He didn't just randomly say, oh, thank you, let's see, oh, what am I going to read today? Oh, here. No, Jesus was specifically looking for a passage that he was going to read to them. And guess what passage it was? Isaiah 61, verses 1 forward. Listen to it. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he stopped his reading right there, because you know what the next line is in that passage, if you caught it earlier? The next line in that passage is, the day of the vengeance of our God. Jesus wanted us to understand that he was coming to give people an opportunity to put their trust in him as Messiah, that today is the acceptable time of the Lord. Jesus was saying the grace of God is available to you now. Don't miss this limited time offer. Don't miss this period of grace. I'm getting ready to offer you joy for your mourning, restoration through my life, death, and resurrection. What I am doing for you, I am about to do so that you can have, instead of a spirit of heaviness in your separation from God and your sorrow and your loss, I want to wrap around you my garment of praise, my righteousness, my life. Everything I offer to replace the spirit of heaviness in you. But you have to be willing to take that spirit of heaviness off. You have to be willing to turn to me. So it says that he stopped where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can there be any doubt that the promise that Isaiah gave to the nation of Israel was not only meant for them, but it was meant to anyone who will come to Christ? Because Christ himself used that passage to say, this is what I've come to do. I'm opening up. God is opening up a time now, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all mankind, all Gentiles. That was anybody else in the world who wasn't an Israelite. So God was saying, my offer is open to you. Jesus Christ is God's plan to bless your life and to give you fulfillment. But you can't really experience that unless you're willing to let go. Let go of the things that you're holding on to now that are not really bringing fulfillment. They'll bring temporary satisfaction. They'll get you through a moment or two. But you need to be willing to let go of those things so that you can embrace the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. And I know we don't like to hear this, but we are sinners. You are a sinner, and so am I. But I'm so thankful that God has loved me anyway. And he has offered to me forgiveness and grace and power so that I, through his power, might be able to walk in newness of life. I can experience a freedom from the effects of sin, not only now, but forevermore. I said at the beginning of this message, 10 years ago this weekend, we were here having our first worship service and a dedication time. By the way, at that time, we only had one worship service. There's so much that we have been able to accomplish in those 10 years, moving to two worship services on Sunday, our attendance increasing, baptisms every year, taking in new members. Certainly we've had losses through those who have gone on to glory and passed on, moved away, different things. There's a lot of changes that happens in 10 years. But praise God, we've been able to persevere. We've been able to invite the preschool now to be a part of the church here at Porterfield and meet here. We continue to plan. We've done a building addition since that time of that first Sunday 10 years ago. And again, maybe 10 years sounds like a long time, but I'm going to do a little trick that the bankers use. Because, you know, if you get a loan, they like to talk about it in months. Because months somehow sounds a little shorter time. Maybe you don't agree with me, but I don't know. To me, if I said 120 months or 10 years, for some reason 10 years sounds longer to me. Is it just me? Am I crazy? 120 months is like, man, that's not that long. 120 months? Look at what God has done in 120 months. And the reason I say bankers use this, because when you get a car loan, I'd rather think about a 36-month loan than a three-year loan. And, okay, maybe I'm silly. Whatever. The point is this. time goes like that. And so much can happen, and we can tend to look at the negative of everything bad that has happened, or we can choose to see God's hand at work, even through our problems and through the challenges, because we have been through a lot of challenges here in these last 120 months, these 10 years. But praise God, the plans of God are greater than the problems of life. That's what I want you to remember. If you don't remember any other phrase when you walk out these doors today, just remember the plans of God are greater than the problems of life. He wants you to trust his plan. And I am here today to proclaim God's faithfulness to his people. And so that's why on the screen right now, you see not only the picture of the front of the building as it looked right out here 10 years ago, but I wanted you to also see this field over here and how it looks right now as we're developing for the next 10 years. Because the work of the church continues. The thing that Jesus proclaimed is what we as a church are to be about every day, every week, every year. We are to proclaim to people in the Mid-Ohio Valley and around the world, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a year of opportunity, and you have an opportunity to trust Christ, to give your life to him. You have the opportunity to reaffirm and recommit your life to him, because Christ is the one who heals the brokenhearted. He is the one that can deliver you from your captivity. And you say, Mark, I'm not in captivity. I'm not enslaved. I'm not in prison. Well, some literally are, but there are many of us, and I'll say us because I've been enslaved by addictions before. There are many of us that are enslaved with various kinds of addictions. You say, Mark, I'm not addicted to anything. I don't do drugs. How much time do you spend watching television? How much time do you spend on Facebook when you could be in the Word of God? How much time do you spend doing the things of the world? And you keep saying, well, God understands. He knows. He knows. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that later today. How much time are you truly spending to be what we are supposed to be? Jesus said that we are to be his disciples. And you know what a disciple is? A disciple is not just a believer, because even the demons believe, but they don't follow God. Jesus calls us to be disciples. That means a student, a learner. And you can't do that when you're studying everything else and keeping your eyes on everything else. So church, this is a challenge for you and I to stay faithful, to stay committed. God offers his forgiveness. So I want to close with this passage today, because this is how we can experience forgiveness and cleansing and freedom in Christ. It's all throughout the Bible, but Psalm 32, I think, acknowledges it pretty well. In Psalm 32, verses 5 through 7, and this can be at whatever point in your spiritual life. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior, this is a prayer that you can pray, trusting and believing in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus and you feel like maybe what I just said a moment ago pricked your heart, convicted you. Yeah, I haven't been really walking as a disciple. I kind of left the student union of Jesus and I'm following the world. Well, you can pray this prayer and God will offer to continue to wrap his garment of praise around you and offer healing. Psalm 32, 5. I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and look at this wonderful promise, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. It's all possible because of Jesus. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he rose again. That's why he chose on that day when he stood in the temple, the synagogue, to read and said, I've come today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. And then look at what it says here in Psalm 32. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. That time is now. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. You see that passage in Isaiah there that after he talks about replacing the ashes and the mourning and the spirit of heaviness with the crown of beauty, the oil of joy and refreshing, and the garment of praise, it says, so that they will be planted as trees of righteousness. What that is God wants to establish your life in him. And he wants you to be for the praise of his glory. Will you do that? Have you done it? Will you continue to? Would you stand? And we're going to pray, and then we're going to move right into our time of communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this message once again with your people. I thank you, Lord, that 10 years ago, I was able to share this very message at our dedication service. And I praise you, Father, because now 10 years later, you show yourself faithful. I proclaim this message once again, and we can look back and see how you have worked through our trials, our difficulties, the things you have accomplished for your praise and your glory. And Lord, I give you all the praise, all the glory. Thank you, Father, for taking us as a church family through a time of sorrow and ashes and mourning, and allowing us now to be refreshed and wrapped with a garment of praise. But Lord, we know that it is not finished yet for us. You have called us to continue to work and to give you praise. Just as in this passage you said that we were to be planted as trees of righteousness so that you may receive the glory and the praise, Lord, I ask that you will continue to establish us now as your church here in the Porterfield area in the Mid-Ohio Valley, as a portion of your church throughout the Mid-Ohio Valley. May we stand for you here. And as we go out from this hillside into the surrounding community, help us to be salt and light. And Lord, as we commit this field now, as we develop it, as we dedicate it for further outreach and ministry to touch lives and families, I pray that as a result of the ministries that happen on this property, not just here where we're at now, but next to us and the surrounding area, that people will sense your presence and your spirit. They will be inspired when they come here because your spirit is here with us and working through us, and we're cooperating with you. And Lord, I pray in these next 10 years, we will continue to see growth and blessing and your plans fulfilled, because your plans for us are greater than our problems. And I thank you, Father. So if there's any here today who is hurting or struggling or just wants to recommit their life, help them in these moments right now to pray that prayer, to ask for forgiveness, to recommit, and help us then to take steps to follow you. And as we come to this table now, Lord, we remember that you have made it all possible through your sacrificial death, your atonement for us on the cross of Calvary, your powerful and glorious resurrection. We know that we have a future garment of praise that will be for all eternity, that you will wrap around us through your righteousness and your Holy Spirit. For it's